Hi, everybody.
Hi, we're back. And we really want to talk to you about self-esteem. So the question is, why is our self-esteem so bad? We're having a bit of a sugar crash situation. Okay. But this is a really great topic, and it affects most people. And so we're going to talk today about some interesting research on brain scans done of people who maybe have more of a tendency to be influenced by other people and have that be a negative impact, which I thought was really interesting. And then we're going to talk about the effects of your self-esteem. And then we're going to talk about what makes it better, what makes it worse. And then we're going to talk about some helpful tips to boost your self-esteem, which is, my friend, your responsibility. This is what I found was really interesting. They did some brain imaging experiments that identified, now listen to this, there's a medial prefrontal cortex, aka your MPFC, Doug, and it's a critical brain structure involved in self-evaluation. Never heard of it before in my life. But the study showed that individuals with lower self-esteem showed more intense activation in that part of their brain than those with higher self-esteem. And what that essentially means is if you have low self-esteem, your brain is more attuned to other people's opinions than your average bear. Because maybe someone else is getting this very similar negative feedback, but it's just not impacting them in the same way.
What I think about self-esteem, like, it's a big topic. Yeah. When we were talking about the topics we were going to do, and I remember thinking, I don't even know where to start with this, because there's so many variables that have an impact. How we grew up, the messages that we got about who we are and what we are, and if we get positive reinforcement, if we have successes in our life, all of those things growing up can kind of be a key piece to building self-esteem. That's why this brain activity piece is a really fascinating thing about how it comes about and how it's influenced by those things, because our brain can be highly influenced by our external factors as well, and how our neurotransmitters connect, et cetera. So I would say this, and I really want to say that at the end of the day, self-esteem, good self-esteem, is about feeling worthy and deserving and like you're a good person, right? And I think there's a lot of factors with that. But I'm also going to say that, you know, living an honest life, which I always say is kind of the best key to getting self-esteem, because if you're true to yourself and if you're putting yourself out there authentically, which we might call ego dystonic as well, from a clinical point of view, the reality is I think you pull those people around you that are going to like you and support you and be good people to build you up. So we naturally do that. So I think
if we're healthy, the healthier people we attract. But I love what you're saying, because it also honors that if it all comes down to family of origin, which is where we get our original messages about ourselves, that there's still hope for those of us that can create a sense of love for ourselves and be around positive
people. For sure. I mean, I think that's the thing. So, yeah, I think people naturally gravitate to you when you are authentic. And I think it's just one of the biggest pieces. So that honesty about who we are and putting ourselves out there. I think I could talk about this topic for days, because I think for people who accommodate others at their expense, which I think is the definition of codependency, I think those people really struggle, because at the end of the day, you don't really know if they love you for who you are or because you gave them the person that you thought they wanted you to be.
That's right.
And it happens all the time. And so the goal is to just kind of figure yourself out. And we've had episodes on dating, and we've had episodes on how to present yourself, et cetera. But the way to present yourself, even starting early on in grade school, would be to just be who you are. So lots of pieces to that.
I mean, that's like a dream of all dreams, right?
For sure.
And that's like a sign of great health, is when you feel confident enough to just be yourself. Yep. And let's talk about social media for a second, I feel like it won't surprise you guys that is just that negative comparison is something that just tanks most people's self-esteem. And it's just like the amount you use social media seems to correlate with how low your self-esteem is.
Yep.
Which I thought was sad, but very understandable. And also, it won't surprise you that the more positive interactions you have socially as a kid, as a teenager, as an adult, it just like enhances your self-esteem.
For sure. So yeah, I think that's part of the issue here. I just think, you know, there's so many different factors and you need to take them into account. Social media. I remember reading just recently about this actress who's just getting mauled for her appearance and told she's ugly because she's not somebody's, I don't know. There's something I couldn't even figure it out because I think she's
Millie
gorgeous.
Bobby Brown, who
no.
was like, people were reaming her about like all of a sudden looking like a mom because she changed her hair or something, but just like people are brutal.
But you know, it's interesting. Everybody judges something and you know, yeah. I'm never quite sure why people on social media feel comfortable going after people's appearance or anything like that. It just, it's wild.
Like you're hidden by like
how silly
anonymity.
Is that?
It's so,
who does that?
People love to have a negative impact.
Like when we started this whole process, I remember thinking I would love people to be mean to us or something so I could actually talk about it, like talk about what it means to actually go after somebody and not have to be accountable. Saturday Night Live did that great skit, right, where they actually brought the people who were the people talking badly
it.
To the people that they were attacking.
What?
And in person they were like, I'm so sorry, right? It was such a funny episode.
I have to watch that. That's, I mean, I've
like,
always
you remember
wondered.
When you called that lady an old bat? Well, she's right here. Right?
I would love to know how brave people are not on social media. Just
that's
like
a really good point. So I want to say about social media, and I've heard so many people compare and contrast to what people put on Facebook. Is that what it is? FaceTime?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, I think I got it. But the thing that I'm struck by in all of this is that, I don't know, I think that's the oddest place, and I'm not on Facebook. Well, actually, I do have a FaceTime. A Facebook market.
Doug, I think you should just stop. While
I should
ahead.
Stop.
What? I'm just going to stop him.
Is it the hamburger talking?
Yes, I think it's the hamburger talking. Mm-hmm. One thing that I might recommend about if you are on a journey to try to figure out why your self-esteem is so low, the idea that you need to start teasing out your self-perception against your perception, maybe of other people's perception of you. I know that's a mouthful, but just the idea that if you were less influenced by yeah. the way other people saw you, and it mattered more if you were in love with who you're becoming, that could be a great way to begin a journey of really knowing and loving yourself.
Agreed.
For exactly who
yep.
you are.
This research about our brain activity, though, and the pieces of that puzzle, I mean, it kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, some of this might be organic, but it doesn't change the goal. Like, no matter what that brain activity is that you have, or the research indicates, you still want to behave in a way that improves the quality of your life and your self-esteem, right? Which is such
That's
an
right.
aphrodisiac in relationships, too. Like, people who are happiest
confident.
Will say that confidence is an aphrodisiac.
Yes.
So just being yourself is the key. Go ahead.
So you just said something that made me think that the opposite of that, like often when people have low self-esteem, what do? They self-sabotage.
Yeah.
They like lean yep. into this feeling that they're unlovable and will be rejected. And so pay attention if you're doing some of that in relationships too.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like even on apps, I've noticed that some people will say things like, you're probably not interested in me, but, and I'm like, well, that doesn't help.
And
like,
that also, yeah, that's the opposite of the aphrodisiac effect of being secure and confident.
Although it might be appealing to some people who are looking for that control or power in a relationship, but I am not.
Mm.
You know, like you pick somebody who doesn't feel good about themselves, so you have a lot of control and
well,
in some ways can take advantage of that.
And what people say is sometimes we attract people the way like that see us the way we see ourselves.
Sure.
So that is also levels of health. But the idea that if we have low self-esteem, we might be attracting someone who could be narcissistic or abusive because our low self-esteem might be the perfect puzzle piece for that abusive power.
Do you remember Stuart Smalley?
I am lovable and people like me.
Yeah.
Is that what you were talking
those,
about?
Those affirmations.
Yes.
People kind of make fun of affirmations. I think they're amazing. I think you should absolutely put them on your mirror in the morning and remind yourself of what an amazing person you are.
I love that.
And we're all beautiful in our own way. Like, I think we find everyone has somebody who finds them attractive.
It's true. Some initial causes for low self-esteem. Of course, it varies from person to person, but usually what they show is it's early trauma, just what Doug was saying, early trauma. It could be discrimination, toxic relationships, often your family of origin, right? Or like if you're in school and work environments and you're getting poor feedback about the work that you're doing, it could be like you have undiagnosed ADHD and your teacher just doesn't like you. And then you start to get these messages about yourself that just continue to snowball into this negative concept. And it really causes a lot of mental health problems as you grow up. Anxiety, depression.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, one of the depressive symptoms in the diagnostic manual is low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And it is a symptom of having a more maybe pervasive or significant depressive disorder. You know, the thing that you had mentioned all those things like getting grades, et cetera, but I think about sports. I think about people who are not good at it. Or I think about people who accidentally do something really disastrous to someone in their life.
Do you have specific?
I was going to say, who runs over there?
I mean, there are unfortunate circumstances, and I hope this isn't you.
Like when a gun goes off.
Do you remember like someone in middle school that like had something super embarrassing happen to them?
Yeah.
And
I do.
What if it ruined their entire life?
So, you know, what's interesting too, going back to social media.
Yeah, those are captured forever.
But every once in a while you hear people who go back and they apologize for something they did. I do have one person I would like to apologize to, but I don't know how to find him.
Are you going to do it right now?
Nope,
I think now.
I'm not going
Let's
to.
Let's apologize. Nope.
No, because.
What did you do?
I'm not going to talk about what I did.
What did you do?
Absolutely not. I'm not going to talk about it. But if I see that person, I am going to say something to them that I did that.
Do you feel remorse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're so immature when you're young, right?
Like yesterday, day before. Is that what
or
about?
Like 5 minutes ago.
Agreed. There's something you can do about this. You don't have to circle a drain. Like if you notice that your self-esteem is low and it's making you not take care of yourself, not think about your future, not put yourself out there socially, not take risks to go outside your comfort zone, try something new, and you're totally just paralyzed in it, we're going to read you some ideas. Think about how your past experiences may have impacted you and look at yourself with love and compassion. That's it. Like, love yourself. You've been through shit. We all have. Can you forgive yourself?
And the other thing, you know, I think one of the pieces that's really easy is to focus on what your strengths and abilities are versus what you can't do. Like I can't swim well. I learned to swim a little bit on a recent trip to Italy, but I can't swim well. But
whenever I introduce you to people, the first thing I say, I'm like, forget his dimples and personality. He can't swim.
Yeah. And then they don't want to be around me anymore. That's not true. But I remember what I do well. And you know, this is a really interesting thing. I'm going to talk about being a therapist related to this too, and go off a little bit on this, because if we never got positive feedback, we wouldn't be in private practice. Because in order to be in private practice, you have to somehow think that you're good at this and that people come to you and pay money to do your craft, right?
Right. And you're only as good as your last session.
Right.
Like we have to be spot on every session.
Well, and some people are not, as I've found out.
Are you going to name names?
No, but I had a client who thanked me for not falling asleep. And when I asked
her
about
it. Me too. I'm horrified.
She said my other person fell asleep within like 5 minutes and I kept talking. I'm like,
how can you have good self-esteem after that? That's horrible.
So, you know, but anyway, going back to like focusing on your strengths and abilities, that's really a key. Everyone has things that they do well. Figure out what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Like no matter what your circumstances are, you'll find something. If you know, we've talked about dating on the spectrum before and all those sorts of things in previous episodes. But the reality is, you know, no matter what you have, just really focus on what you got and turn it around and twist that a little bit and challenge that negative self-talk about that.
And maybe a way to start, I know I've talked to some of my clients about this, but if you really feel like you can't think of a single nice thing to say about yourself, maybe survey the people that actually love you, your top three people, like, how would you describe me? What would you say my strengths are? What do you think I'm good at? What is your favorite thing about me? And I know it might sound really vulnerable, but people probably don't see you the way you see yourself. And there are people that love you. Why do they love you? Find out. And then take those as concrete reasons that you are lovable. And maybe those are things you love about yourself as well. And even if you're journaling a little bit every day about your strengths and the things that you love about yourself, it doesn't have to be skills. It could just be like who you are. How do you make other people feel? Are you a good listener? Are you loyal? Are you kind? You don't need to be like the best at something to be a wonderful friend.
So it's interesting because I think, you know, that's absolutely true. And I think there's everybody, like if my kids were in a bad mood, I would be glad to bump them up and pump them up because I have so many positive things to say about my kids because I see them in a very different way than they're obviously seeing themselves if they were in a bad mood. Challenging negative self-talk. So, you know, it is interesting to me. I have a buddy who repeatedly sorts of, he seems to apologize like all the time for whatever. And I finally just said, you have to put $10 in a jar every time you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Finally, I just said, I think you owe me $10,850.
I like it.
He's not going to pay me that.
But maybe he learned a lesson.
But I want him to at least be aware that he's doing that because it limits himself and it puts him, you know, pushes people away when you do that negative stuff. But it's also internalized stuff. And I honestly, if I was working with someone who said I have really low self-esteem, I would have them write down every single message they give themselves about what it is that they don't like about themselves or they don't think is a great quality of themselves. And then I would go one by one and challenge it and figure out what to do with
CBT.
It is.
That's great. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Just like challenging.
Clarified what CBT is and not on Grindr.
Cognitive. Wait, what is it on Grindr? Are you going to make me guess? Oh, no. God, CBT. Something about a clitoris? What are we looking at? Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
cognitive behavioral therapy, my friends, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
I will say, no matter where you are in your self-esteem journey, taking care of yourself, whatever that looks like, being active, getting good sleep, eating food that's nutritious, is hard for people to do when they don't love themselves. But the act of doing those things, those self-loving, self-caring things, actually helps you boost your self-esteem.
So eat, sleep, exercise. I always tell people those are the three main ingredients. And that's really what you just covered. I want to talk about work on being assertive.
Okay. Tell me more. Tell me more.
More I will tell you. Here's what I think about this. I think this is a tricky one because I am well known by my friendship circle to be direct and honest. And if I see something, I say something. If I am around somebody who is exhibiting maladaptive behaviors, I might say, so what's up with that? Like, what's going on with you? And I've called it out not so long ago. It doesn't work well for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So if you've kind of done your work and if you're a solid person, it's really easy. If I were to say, you know what, you seem really insecure or you seem really, you know, too concerned with what people think. I mean, I would call that out in a minute to people. And some people are like, what? Like just really shocked by it. But no, I'm not interested in beating around the bush. And I think giving people honest feedback is important. But the assertive part. So if people are taking advantage of you, if people, like if you give someone a $100 bill for a hot dog and they give you $12.
Which was today at the Festival of Garage Sales. You gave me two tens. I got myself a foot long corn dog and he came back and he was like, where's the $40 I gave you? I gave him like $5. Doug, I did not steal your money.
Talia is a thief and a kleptomaniac.
I did not steal your
money. Don't borrow her money.
I did steal your loan credit or card.
You did take my credit card out of my wallet.
It's definitely, if you borrow, you're the taker. If you loan,
you're the giver.
You're the giver.
So I loaned her and then she says she borrowed $40 and a corn dog. So anyway, so the thing about it is take it, you know, and if you're getting treated badly on the phone, we have a great example from the beginning of our day.
Oh my Lord. I got reamed out. So I brought in, I brought into work today, because basically this is my office. This is my private practice. I have a whole little wing back here. And this studio is one of my two therapy rooms. Anyway, yada, yada, long story short, Festival of Garage Sales. I bring from home a working fire pit and a lawn chair. And I asked Doug to help me unload it. I had two free signs. I was just going to unload it and put it on the corner because it's like thoroughfare of like a lot of people who are buying and taking a lot of stuff. And there was a woman that ran out in her pajamas and she was wearing like under eye depuffer, like those gels that you put under your eyes. And she was screaming at me, like she came running at me to not leave my stuff on the street. And then she was really coming in hot. And I was like, hey, you don't need to come in hot. Like, I'm not fighting with you. I'm happy to talk to you and work with you. And she didn't like that at all. And she started yelling at me more. And then she was like, let me help you move your fire table. And then she like shoved my fire table into the street. And there were about five people that came up to us that had heard the commotion. And they were very supportive and validating.
So two things about that.
Yeah.
You identify kind of asking her not to be so hot.
Intensio.
You know, so number one, that's being assertive. But number two, you got some affirmation from people that you were not at fault, which helped kind of bring some resolution to that.
Yeah. And even if what I did was like a 3 out of 10 crime.
Yeah.
Which it may have been.
I don't think that's a crime to put something on a sidewalk during a garage sale. I just don't. But anyway.
It happened.
The thing about it is, though, like being assertive, and there's a difference between being aggressive, like this woman, and assertive, like Talia. Like there's, it's good to
Doug,
be. You're welcome.
You like Talia. WWTD. Is that a t-shirt yet?
It will never be one.
I think my self-esteem is pretty good. Thanks to you.
You're welcome. I was differentiating between aggressive and assertive. And the truth of the matter is just being clear. And in order to be assertive, you have to be thoughtful as well. And you have to be like managing your nervous system, et cetera, not be able to go
gotta
do
regulate.
What this woman said and regulate. So that's what I think. I think being able to take care of yourself, and if somebody takes advantage of you, if they don't give you the right change back, if you get the wrong order at a restaurant, like I can't tell you, I'm going to use another example. How many people tell me I didn't really enjoy this meal? I'm like, well, why did you eat it? Send it back, like get something else to eat that you really want to enjoy. Right. And it's okay to say, I'm not fond of this meal at all. Or there feels like there's too much salt on this, or there's just a shitty taste to it. We don't want to do that.
You mean we do want to do that?
We want to make sure that we send it back.
That's right. We hope you got some value out of this one. Now you know how to boost your self-esteem and you know how to spot low self-esteem. If you want to like us, subscribe to us, rate and review, send us to a friend or an enemy or somebody, just send us. Do it. Do it, guys.
Go to wearenotfine.com. If you have anything you want us to discuss, if you have an issue in your life that you want us to cover on this podcast, if you have a relationship issue, if you have something else that's just bugging you or you've been really struggling with it and you don't know what to do, you can anonymously let us know. We'd like, you know, you'd like our feedback on this. We would love to hear from you.
Bye, guys. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
This podcast represents the opinions of our hosts and guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. This podcast also does not establish a standard of care, doctor-patient, or client relationship. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or website, and because each person is so unique, all listeners are encouraged to connect with counseling and medical professionals for assistance with their personal journey. All people, places, and scenarios mentioned in the podcast have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved.